boat where they feel like they belong. Yeah.
That sounds great.
That's what I'm doing today.
Do you mind?
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Do you mind us asking you in front of thousands of people, where's your third place?
Where's my third place? You know, that's been a difficult one for me, I think, which is why I do the work that I do.
Hmm.
Yeah. And one of my third places actually just kind of recently closed here in Brainerd.
Hmm.
It was the El Potro Mexican restaurant in town that was closed down, and that was one of the places that I could go to here in town where I felt completely able to be myself and being included and accepted. And so, yeah, those places are hard to find, I think, and for some people. Mm-hmm. And how can we better that, you know, so people want to stay and be a part of our communities.
Well, I hope KEXE is a third place for you. And then even by extension, listening to KEXE can be a third place for many people.
Absolutely. Yes, yes. And KEXE is definitely the online community that I do love to have. I wish I lived closer to Grand Rapids, because if I did, I would be your volunteer DJ as often as I possibly could, you know? Yeah, I do. I do love the vibe, the family that's been created.
Quickly, let's go back to cats. You have two cats.
Okay.
Do you train them? Do you have the ability to train them, or do they run the show?
I have trained my cats quite well, yeah. They don't go up on the counters. They don't beg. I shouldn't say that. My younger one is she's only two, so she's still learning. But my older cat, Shadow, is 8, and she does not jump up on anything. She doesn't beg for anything.
Oh. Kari Helen call you? She has a kitten and is having some issues.
Oh, my gosh. I love kittens, but they're so naughty.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's
great.
And we had someone say that you can train cats, you know, like a dog, with treats. Did you use treats to train them?
I don't. I happen to use a spray bottle.
Oh.
I like to be a little bit more effective. Just one squirt. It's all it takes.
I know.
You know?
But she, you know, and Kari's tried that. She says it's not working, but I think if she keeps it up, it will eventually work, won't it?
Yeah, like a reverse Pavlov's dog.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Cats have such different personalities.
Yeah, they do.
You know? They really do. Yeah.
So, Don, we know you're an on-air volunteer, but why are you a member of KEXE?
I have been a member of KEXE since 2001, so I'm a long-time member at this point.
Wow.
I'm a member because when I came across it was an older gentleman, volunteer DJ, playing Purple Rain, or Let's Go Crazy by Prince, not Purple Rain. And it was just such a melding of worlds in my brain, you know, just Purple Rain, or I'm sorry, Let's Go Crazy with this older gentleman's craggly, cracky voice, you know, introducing it. I was like, this is so awesome. This is like breaking down all of my biases about who likes what kind of music. And then just the different shows that came about and the green cheese and all of it. And I dug it right away. And I became a member pretty quickly.
And that old person that you're talking about, you try and figure out what they look like. Why? What's he all about?
You do, yeah.
Yeah, you try and form this image or opinion.
Do I have time to share a quick story?
Sure.
Am I losing you?
No. Go ahead. Oh, she must
be. Okay. I'm going to share a quick story. This was before I had ever met Heidi and John Latimer, and I was at a conference, and I knew that they were going to be there, and I was sitting at a table getting my food, and I heard their voices. I had no idea what they looked like.
Mm-hmm.
All I did was hear their voices. And I knew immediately who it was. And it's such a strange thing when you've been listening to a voice for so many years and then you get to see them for the first time. And they were not at all what I expected them to look like, of course, what I had in my head. But it was still such a cool moment to just recognize those familiar voices in that place and being able to go right to them and feel that comfort just because of voice.
Did you think Heidi was like maybe 5'11 or something?
Oh, we did lose you.
We did lose
you. Anyone to go right to them and feel that comfort just because of.
Oh, Don, we are.
I think I lost you.
Yeah, we did. We did lose you.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my question to you was, did you think Heidi was 5'11", maybe black hair and big hands?
Was she what?
Did you think she was like 5'11" with black hair and big hands and jewelry everywhere?
What?
Yo, totally, my internet, I'm parked. I don't know why it's happening. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Well, Dawn, thank you.
Yep.
Go change some young people's minds.
Absolutely.
And can't wait to hear you soon on KEXE.
Say it again. Okay, no, I just got you back. It again.
Oh, thank you so much, and go change some young people's lives.
I hope so. Yes. Okay. I'm so excited. I'm going to give out candy all day long.
Oh, and have an egg at two. All right.
Thank you so much. Sorry about my phone.
That's okay. Bye-bye. Dawn Espy, she's a KEXE volunteer and a member, and she joined us on What's for Breakfast.
We want to thank Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. And the Grand Itasca Clinic and Hospital, home to an experienced OBGYN team that provides comprehensive women's health services, including maternity and advanced gynecology care, all in Grand Rapids, granditasca.org.
This is 91.7 KEXE Grand Rapids and 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji. We are Northern Community Radio, telling the stories of the people and the land of Northern Minnesota through music, news, conversation, and events. Operating translator K210 DR in Brainerd 89.9. Listen at KEXE.org or on your smart speaker. We need people like you to support this local media. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. We thank you for your support. And thanks also goes out to the Grand Rapids Area Community Foundation. They build a stronger community by mobilizing generosity around the needs of people in the greater Itasca area. Learn more, GRACF.org. Coming up, it's the sports page.
Then I turned to the sports page, and the Mets had blown it in the 13th inning. Papers can't make losing look like winning. I think the Phillies took it 5-4. There it was on the sports page. Only page that takes a firm position. Kind of like an honest politician. The kind you hardly find anymore. In fact, let's face it, the sports page is the only place to go when a fella wants to know the score.
8:07, it is Friday morning. It's KEXE, KBXE, People Powered Radio in Northern Minnesota. And it's time for the sports page, but we're missing Megan. She's got an excuse. She's away at a conference right now, learning. But we're waiting on Kyle and Fred, and I bet you they'll be coming, right? Because I can't really provide much here. Maybe Malachi, of course, we got high school hockey, and maybe some other folks can talk about that.
But. Yeah, high school hockey last night. I think, I don't even know the result. Oh, no, I'm sure War Road won. But Grand Rapids lost a heartbreaker. They lost to Rosemount 3-2. They were down. Rosemount scored with about 2 minutes and 36 seconds left in the game. And I got up and left because I thought it was over because I had to go do some painting. And my friend called me and said Grand Rapids scored with 29 seconds left, went into overtime, and Rosemount won the game on a beautiful shot. You don't want overtime games or big games like that determined by a fluke shot or whatever. And I guess it was a great game. And so Hibbing has won their first game. And I apologize, I do not know who they play, but they are in the semifinals. And they are kind of the favorites to win the tournament. They got some really good talent on their team. And Hibbing's kind of gone through quite a few years of kind of not being the greatest team in the world. And all of a sudden, you just get all these good athletes in a generation, and they're doing fantastic. State hockey tournament is an amazing thing. And here's another thing, Heidi.
Mm-hmm.
Who was playing Minnetonka? Anyway, this team was getting beat by Minnetonka bad, like 5-0. And at the end of the game, a young man scored a goal where he shot it between his legs backwards and shot it into the net. And he made the top 10 list on ESPN. He was the number one video that night. So that was kind of exciting to see somebody from Hibbing, or not from Hibbing, Minnesota, but from Minnesota being in the top 10. Fred, you're with us? He's there.
All right.
All right, Heidi Lynn, then let's talk about Unrivaled. You were a little, I don't want to, you know, let a cat out of bag, but a little bit disappointed. There was a, was it a blowout or what?
No, it was not a blowout. I just was so, okay, it might not be Fred. Let's try again. I was so invested in Paige Beckers and her team, which was the Breeze. They were the rookies. You know, they got Courtney Williams from the Lynx a couple, the last four games. She got traded to them, but they were playing great. I was so invested in it. I thought they were going to win that last game, and they were up the whole time. Everyone thought they'd win, and they lost. So that heartbreak made me just not as interested in the finals, you know, but Brianna Stewart's team won. They're the Mist, and she's one of the founders. And each player won $100,000. $600,000 was the prize, and there's six players on each team. So that's great. And as far as I know, we're still holding out hope on the WNBA contracts, right, Fred? Can you hear us, Fred? No.
He can't hear us.
Huh, we can see. Wait, here we go. Fred, can you hear us?
I can. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, sorry, there was a thing. But anyway, as far as I know, there's not been any movement on the WNBA contract.
Well, there
contract,
has been
has
some,
there?
I think, that the key players can make a substantial amount of money. Is there anything else, Fred, that's going on?
Nothing else. There's kind of a resistance, and I'd like to see the press spend more time covering this day-to-day. You know, if this was baseball or hockey or basketball or NFL, I mean, it'd be in front page, you know, day after day after day, goodness sakes. So we all know what the issues are. They want far more money in terms of salaries. They want a higher percentage of the profits, and they want a new commissioner. I mean, the issues are clear, right? You know, and We'll see what happens. The worst part about it is if the players just get angry and take off for Europe, like the old days, right? Like 10 years ago, 5 years ago. So I don't know, but I definitely would like to see more coverage about this.
You know, I was talking about the end of the Unrivaled season, Fred, and this year one of the new things they did was go to some other places, not just in Miami. And the second to the last game that broke my heart with Paige Beckers team was in New York in Brooklyn. And 18,000 people came for this semifinal game. I mean, it was amazing how many people were interested in this. So I hope they're paying attention.
Yeah, because so much progress has been made. And, you know, there will be controversy if they strike. I mean, because they've worked so hard. Things are going so great now. And then if they strike, people are going to say, well, what more do they want? And that's true. That's going to happen. There's no doubt that's going to happen.
Yeah. John, I think the best argument they have is just publish attendance, publish what the men make, you know, because it's the same people owning the league, and publish what the women make, you know, compare a star to a star, an average player to an average player, a superstar to a superstar, right?
Yep.
And that's their best argument. Don't get trapped into thinking, well, they make a lot more money than the average working woman. Well, that's true, but there's only a couple of dozen people in the world that can do this stuff.
Yeah.
So, right? Pay them.
Well, yeah. I know I've been reading that they did make progress. So the latest offer was that the players like Clark have the opportunity to make a salary, an extremely large salary, like $6-7 million a year, which is nothing. That's probably the 12th guy off the bench in the NBA.
A lot more than $100,000, though.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, last season, I think, you know, it was newer players coming in, but they make maybe $80,000. I mean, they have some incentives and stuff, but the bigger players make a couple $100,000.
And Heidi, here's something you and I were talking about 2 months a year. What if they reach agreement on salaries, but they say, hey, commissioner stays no matter what. And the players say, commissioner goes no matter what. That'd be hard to sell to the ticket-buying public, don't you agree? Because you and I don't care who the commissioner is.
No.
I want games and I want fair pay. You know?
So why isn't the commissioner gone?
obviously she's tight with enough owners for it to matter, I guess.
Or is this, you're an attorney for it, is this a legal issue? Like there aren't grounds to fire her?
No, I'm sure she's in that will an employee. They might have to pay her for another year or two, but I'm sure she's in that will, employee. It's just, I don't see why, it'd be hard for me to explain fighting over that, but so many players have made it clear that she has to go, which of course is the danger of negotiating in public, right?
Yeah. And I'm going to go back to this, the potential that the big stars can actually make a ton of money. But what does that say to the non-stars? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying.
Can they make an exorbitant amount of money, but not even close to what the stars are making? I mean, I don't know. I think this thing through and I don't get it.
Yeah, well, bottom line is people want the games. You know what I'm saying?
And it's not like they don't draw. They're drawing big crowds, like Heidi just said. So the NBA can't say whatever that they're just not making as much money. I don't know if a WNBA ticket is a lot less than an NBA ticket. Do we know this information?
I'm not knowledgeable. It's less. I don't know if it's a lot less. It's less.
Yeah.
But I think the last time I was at a Lynx game, it was maybe $30-$40.
Yeah.
And I wasn't, wasn't great seats or anything. Yeah. It was decent. I wasn't up in the top tier, but
yeah, NBA is way more than that.
And the big, celebrities are coming to this too. They kept showing all the celebrities that were there. Like you see, Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah. Men and women. You're right.
Lots of Jennifer Hudson and, people like that are showing up and being there.
So. Do we know who the player rep is for the WNBA? Is it an old player or an ex-player?
I'm supposed to know this, But I don't.
Okay. Tell me what that means. A player who is the rep?
Well,
Each team has a player rep, right? Who's like the union steward. And then the player reps of the teams vote for who gets to participate in negotiations. They'll have a lawyer, they'll have an agent, but then they'll have two, three players there as well.
Well, it looks like I figured Nafisha Collier, since she's been so outspoken, she's the vice president of the Players Association. And my guess would be Brianna Stewart. She's the other big name that's been involved in all the negotiations.
Let's just hope it all gets straightened out and we start playing ball, because don't they start in
May?
Yeah.
Wow. Less than 2 months, another one.
Yeah, that's just around the corner. Before we keep going, I want to acknowledge something that just was a total surprise to me is Grand Rapids High School has a wrestler, and I hope I'm saying his name correctly. No, his name is Christian Jelle. I should know this. Must be Jelly. He is a three-time state champion for Grand Rapids. I mean, that just went under the radar. To be a three-time state champion is an amazing feat. So tip your hats to this young gentleman for all that.
Really nice, really nice coverage from our own Megan Buffington on it at our website, though, about the medalists from 40 medalists from the Northland. She reported on 5 champions. We had wrestlers from Grand Rapids, Staples, Motley, Badger, Greenbush, Middle River topped the podium. So cool stuff. You can find her coverage at KEXE.org, including charts and names and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Women too, the girls.
The biggest thing that Twin Cities folks, both fans and journalists, don't get is these people you're talking about have to travel so far, and the school buses are so expensive, the transportation is so expensive, to get competitive meets, right? John's been saying forever, we got to put an end to these 103-17 games. And which means more travel. And of course, school buses are expensive. Travel's crazy expensive. And this is so much different, everybody, from athletics and the arts and the music and everything, where the coaches just tell your kids, see you at the gym or see you at the parking lot at Robbinsdale Armstrong or East Ridge or East View or Apple Valley or Stillwater. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where up north, it's getting a bus at 4:35 in the morning.
Yeah, these blowout games will not stop. Will never cease, because just what you're saying, they can't afford to drive down even halfway down to the cities and play somebody better. Just isn't on the cards.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay, what else are we going to talk about? We Fred, what's on your mind? We got...
So they're getting, of course, the sports pages continue to lead with what are the Vikings going to do about a quarterback situation? Are they going to sign somebody, that's washed up, give somebody a second, third, fourth chance? How long a leash does McCarthy have? How are they going to handle that? The correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure I'm right, that the draft is like the third week in April.
Yeah.
And so they got to figure out free agency starts, players whose contracts have ended, who if they don't re-sign, can go into free agency. It's next week it starts. And the Vikings, their cap money, they're way over on the cap. They spent more money than anybody else last year. And they've already let Jonathan Allen go, one of their defensive tackles, and they're going to let some more people go. And they got to figure out what they're going to do.
They've got egg in their face. McCarthy hasn't done anything, and the name that's popping up is the Arizona Cardinals, Kyler Murray, who has done a really good job, but he's in a pretty decent situation. You know that the Arizona Cardinals released him, Heidi. He's guaranteed $36.5 million, and they just released him. So some team could pick him up for a decent price, and then he'll probably leave. So that might not be the answer for the Vikings either. I don't know what they're standing with. I don't know what they're going to be with their quarterback situation.
Or he can go back to his family or hit the golf ball in Arizona
and not play
and make $3 million a month
and not get hurt
and no risk of injury.
That's football.
Heidi, would you go back to work if you could get $36 million for 2027, for being at home?
I don't believe I would.
That's a lot of Lynx games you could go to.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's good stuff. Twins, what's going on with the Twins? Maybe they won a game yesterday. Maybe it was like they played the Yankees' fifth squad or something. They won big.
Well, of course, shock out of shock, injury, pitchers, no right?
Yeah.
Their kid center fielder from North Carolina, from Wilmington, got hurt, right off the bat, the rookie that was a first-round draft choice.
Yeah.
Who they were hoping was going to have a great year at AAA so they could bring him up from St. Paul in the middle of the year. He has this umpteenth hamstring injury in a row. Do these kids, do they stay in shape during the winter? Do they come to camp in shape? How's that all work?
I think, Fred, I think they're in too good a shape. I think that their muscles are like doggone piano strings, and they're so sensitive. There's been talks about that. You look back at old, Harmon Killebrew and players like that. They had paunches, and they knew how to play the game. Everybody's in such tremendous shape right now. I don't know what's happening, but I'm starting to lose a little bit of faith. The Twins are like 3-10 or something in minor league games, which mean nothing, but you still have to have pitchers, and they're just getting shelled every single pitcher.
Every afternoon, they're getting shelled. That's absolutely right.
Timberwolves, I don't know if you're are you there yet? Do you watch them, Fred, a little bit?
Yeah, I know they won like six in a row. They've brought in a couple more people trying to improve their bench. And right now they're on a hot streak, so we'll see. Will they be in the playoffs? Of course they'll be in the playoffs. Can they be a factor? Who knows? What will happen? Who knows? But right now they're playing well. But we'll see.
I think they can go a long way. They have a tremendous bench. The guy they just picked up was Kyle Anderson, who used to play for him. He's like Mr. Slow Motion, but somehow he gets things done and he plays great defense.
And they're
healthy. And they're healthy. So they're going to be something to watch. Like my son always says, they're going to lose a game to somebody they shouldn't lose to. But when you get into a best of seven series, it's going to be pretty hard to beat them four times.
Well, like a lot of people and plenty of KAX people, I casually watch during the season and very carefully watch when the playoffs start. I know there's a lot of people like that. I'm one of them.
Yeah. I don't know.
Women too.
Yeah. Are we ready for our trivia for the day?
I'm a little nervous about this.
Senior correspondent has once again come through. Always. Our theme this week is merch madness.
Merch madness.
As in sports memorabilia, collectibles, and apparel. For example, in 2017, the tennis racket that Billie Jean King used in her 1973 Battle of the Sexes victory over Bobby Riggs sold for $125,000.
That's nothing anymore.
Yeah, I know. I was like, only that, huh? Okay. So, first question. In 2024, one of her rookie cards sold for $660,000.
Are we saying a sport?
I can give you the hint if you want.
Well, it's probably Caitlin, women's basketball.
Caitlin Clark, yeah.
Caitlin Clark, yep. By the way, we did hear from Bill, who texted in when we were talking WNBA, saying the commissioner is hardly unbiased because she wore the New York Absolute. Landscape dress at the New York Liberty.
Sure. Yeah, Bill, I want to go on too. You know, the question is, will you strike over it?
So you have to question someone's intelligence. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
If you wear something that is supporting one of the other teams in the finals.
She probably thought it was subtle because it wasn't the jersey or something, but everybody got it.
Okay.
Not good. Second question. A large on-ice picture of these three National Hockey League players is currently selling for $40.
What? Oh, it must be the Hughes brothers?
Yes.
The Hughes, but who's the third person? Did you say three people in a picture?
Yeah. The Hughes brothers, Quinn, Jack, and Luke.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Wow. $40. $40.
Oh, we got a Megan first. Megan is at a conference. In 2022, one of his original baseball cards issued between 1909 and 1911 sold for over $7 million. Isn't that nice?
Honest Wagner.
That he put Megan first?
Yeah.
In 1934, this baseball Hall of Famer was the first athlete featured on a Wheaties box.
Lou Gehrig.
Yeah.
Oh, Lou Gehrig. Okay.
Aviator Eleanor Smith was the first woman on a Wheaties cereal box, also in 1934.
Cool.
His beach towels are selling for more than $100 on eBay.
Oh.
What?
I know this.
Does this mean used beach towels or like his face is on them? I don't know.
No, he makes beach towels, I think. He has a business that makes beach towels, I think.
Okay.
Who is it? I don't know.
It's a Timberwolf.
Oh, I don't know.
Naz Reid.
Oh. Huh.
His autographed Minnesota Wild jersey with his flower nickname on it is currently selling for $530.
What?
LeFleur?
Yeah. Fleury. These are funny. Fleury.
Yeah, then $27. I mean, come on.
We got to give Scott like $37 for doing this. This is a great one. These collectible first appeared in Germany in the 1840s. The Willie Mays, Roberto Clemente, Mickey Mantle, and Roger Maris versions were introduced in the early 1960s.
Bobbleheads.
Yes.
Wow.
This Twins Hall of Famers bobblehead is the most highly valued one on eBay.
Kirby Puckett?
Mm-mm.
Kirby?
No.
Joe
Mauer.
You talked about his paunch earlier.
Harmon Killebrew?
Oh, Harmon. Harmon.
Okay. I think I don't have the answer to the last one.
Hey, Harmon Killebrew was everything. I mean, he was just a player. He was a great human being, and he also made the comment that, if you're going to sign an autograph for a young kid, you take your time and you do it. And I have several Killebrew autographs, and you can't do that autograph fast enough. There were great players.
And for people that don't know, too young, from Idaho, he died way too early of esophagus cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Minneapolis Star Tribune introduced this collectible during the Twins' 1987 pennant race.
The hanky.
Hank Homer.
And Ralph Bruno was inspired to start his multi-million-dollar company, Foamation, after Milwaukee Brewers center fielder Rick Manning made this collectible popular in the 1980s.
Nerf? No, I mean.
Don't know. Hat? Beanie.
Cheesehead.
Oh, Cheesehead.
The foam Cheesehead. In 2017, his Major League Baseball rookie jersey sold for $2.1 million, 70 years after his rookie season.
70 years? Is that what you said?
70.
Oh, 07, I don't know. Ty Cobb. 07. Walter Johnson.
Or 20, it's 2017 is when it sold for that.
You said 70 years afterwards.
Yeah, yep.
So he played 70 years ago and it just sold. Is that what you're
70.
Saying?
70.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He played 70 years ago from now or from 2017?
No, but it's getting serious. Satchel Paige?
I don't know. Nope. JR. Jackie Robinson.
Oh, well, 70. Okay. Yeah, got it now.
All right. That's it for today, you guys.
All right, Fred. Okay. Take care, buddy. We'll see you later.
You guys too. See you soon.
Bye-bye. That is the sports page. You hear it Thursday. Nope. Friday mornings at this time. Here on People Powered KAXE, we'll be talking arts after the Up North report.
Want to thank L&M Fleet Supply, carrying a variety of products for your next outdoor adventure with 13 locations across the Northland, lmsupply.com. We also want to thank North Homes Children and Family Services, providing compassionate mental health services to children and families at home, school, and in the community, northhomes.org.
Minnesota Mixtape is coming up at 10 o'clock today. Malachi Coons is our host. It's a deep dive into the local music scene. It's Fridays at 10, Saturdays at 3. This week, you're going to hear the latest from Rich Mattson and the North Stars, Humbird, Lamar, and Pertnir Sandstone, and also a look at Minnesota's reggae history. Did you give me a finger?
No, I just, hi, just saying hi.
Hi, John.
Like your sweater.
Thanks.
For KAXE News, I'm Chelsea Perkins with the Up North Report. The Good Life Cafe in Park Rapids closed its doors Wednesday because of a bomb threat. The cafe posted on social media that it was closing, quote, for the safety of our staff and customers due to a threat made against our business. In a Thursday morning update, owner Molly Luther says authorities determined the phone call came from outside the community and there was no ongoing threat. She thanked the Park Rapids Police Department for its swift response and guidance. The Hibbing School Board is moving forward with the closure of Green Haven Elementary School as one step in closing its projected $2 million budget deficit. The board voted unanimously to declare its intent to close the building at a meeting on Wednesday afternoon. Before the vote, Acting Superintendent Carrie McDonald explained the financial realities the district is facing amid declining enrollment and many increasing costs. She says the data and dollars support moving from 4 facilities to 3. McDonald says the Green Haven closure will result in at least $516,000 in savings, not including the building sale. The building was updated just last year using grant funding from the State Department of Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation.
I understand the heartbreak for the neighborhood. I understand the heartbreak for the staff. I understand the frustration with the money that was put into it. I understand that. I feel that. But we have to make tough decisions to move us forward.
With the change, pre-kindergarten through first grade students will go to Washington Elementary, while Lincoln Elementary will transition to second through fifth grades. Sixth graders will move up to the Hibbing High School and will be self-contained on the third floor, limiting their interactions with juniors and seniors. More cuts will be needed in the wake of a failed referendum and what was described as an unplanned budget overrun. The district is also amid contract negotiations with AFSCME Local 480, representing 115 employees, further complicating the financial challenges. Board member Kim McLaughlin says she supports all bargaining units and values their work, but the decisions they have to make aren't easy.
Like every other Blue Jacket team, if we don't play as a team, we're not going to be successful. The big difference is the stakes are much larger.
As required by state law, when a district decides to close a school, the board set a public hearing date of 6 p.m. March 26 in the Hibbing High School auditorium. Thanks to Hibbing Public Access Television for the audio. The DNR Enforcement Division named Conservation Officer Patrick McGowan the 2025 Conservation Officer of the Year. McGowan and 4 other COs received awards last week during a ceremony at Camp Ripley. He currently patrols the Cass Lake Station and is an instructor, arson investigator, and field training officer. In November 2024, McGowan rescued 6 young duck hunters on Leech Lake after their boat had overturned. He received a life-saving award for that situation and has also been involved in several other rescues. Conservation Officer Troy Fondi, stationed in Orr, received the Willard Munger Wetlands Achievement Award. Boys hockey state tournament play is underway in St. Paul, with first-round games taking place Wednesday and Thursday. Fifth-seeded Grand Rapids brought it down to the wire Thursday afternoon, tying it up 2-2 with less than 30 seconds to go and forcing overtime with the number 4 Rosemount Irish. But the Irish came out on top with an overtime goal. The Thunderhawks now move to the consolation bracket, where they will play Gentry Academy at 10 a.m. on Friday. Top-seeded Hibbing Chisholm Victory Christian Academy is advancing to the semifinals for the second consecutive season after defeating Dodge County on Wednesday. The team posted a 4-1 victory at Grand Casino Arena. Senior forward Tate Swanson scored a goal and assisted on another to help the Blue Jackets get their 12th straight win. They face Matamidi next, who they defeated earlier in the season in the semis at 11 a.m. Friday. Number 3 War Road Warriors defeated 6th-seeded Northern Lakes 5-0, although the Lightning, which is the co-op between Pequot Lakes, Crosby Ironton, Aiken, and Pine River Bacchus, kept it scoreless through the first period. War Road senior Mooney Shagabe scored 2 goals, while junior Gavin Anderson scored 1 and had an assist. Senior goaltender Patrick Kennedy filled in for the injured starter Finn Hansen and stopped 24 shots. War Road will face number 2 Delano in the semifinal at 1 p.m. Friday. That's it for the Up North Report from the KAXE News Desk. I'm Chelsea Perkins, telling the stories of Northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is made possible by Woodland Bank, providing customers with personal and business banking solutions, as well as offering Kasasa checking accounts. You can learn more online at woodland.bank.
Baby, in good words, baby, from above, ain't always easy to supply, but I ain't giving up, baby. In my life was love in full supply. God bless the human mind. Who would dream the sweet design? Even in these days I find, this far down the line, I find good in. Dear and lost, Daddy, I am the last, Daddy, last of us. Ain't always easy to believe. I miss my family, Daddy.
Mavis Staples. You are listening to People Powered KAXE. It's almost 8:40. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Don't forget, tonight is the celebration, first of our 50th birthday celebrations, People Powered Pilsner collaboration. Clocko Brewing, Bemidji Brewing, Jack Pine Brewery. Beer release party is from 5 to 8 tonight at Clocko and 4 to 7 next Friday at Bemidji Brewing. Cheers to 50 years and many more.
Yeah, Katie Marshall, after you're done tonight, you might need a couple of Pilsners. You see what I'm saying?
Probably need a nap.
Yeah. Well.
I might. Yeah, the Pilsner would
throw
you off.
Same thing, yeah. Yeah. That was Katie Marshall, and I think she's the director of the McCrosty Arts Center in Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
She comes in once a month.
That's right.
She doesn't grace us with her presence more than that.
Upon request, I could make another appearance.
Is she ever asked? No, you put it in her
account. Yeah, yeah, that was not
no.
But it is First Friday.
It is.
Already.
It's an exciting new exhibits, new things. We're heading into spring, so stuff is starting to kind of pick up. Things happening.
Yeah, I just got a confirmation from the car show guys. They're coming back in May, so
right.
spring is in the air.
Nice.
Yeah, so but for tonight, we've got a nice manageable lineup. It's not going to tax anybody too much, I don't think. We've got a few different exhibits going on and some live music. So starting out up at the Rife Center, just from 4 to 5 p.m., there's a artist reception for the group exhibit, group collage exhibit that's been up there for the last 2 months. Today is the last day, so we're doing a closing reception, chance for the artists to meet each other, and folks can also stop by and meet the artists. And the featured artist for this exhibit was Carlin Berg. She has a collection of her collages on display. I think there's close to 20 of them. And then there's a number of different community artists that have each submitted a piece as well. So it's a really fun collection. And if folks haven't had a chance to check it out, better get up there today because it's the last chance. So that's from 4 to 5. There'll be some light refreshments.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but collage kind of went away for a while. Now it's just huge, right? I mean, did people collage 10, 15
years?
Well,
let her correct him if you're wrong. First. Yeah, well, yeah. I don't keep talking.
I mean, collage is big. A lot of people.
Yeah, I guess I haven't really tracked the rise and fall of collage. But
Jeez, okay, never mind. So Turn my mic off. There you go.
You may be correct. You may have your finger on the pulse of the art world more than I do, which I'm not even kidding because I don't really. But I know a number of collage artists, but that's just sort of a very microcosm of things. So, but collage is fun because it can be really any medium, and there's quite a variety on display. You know, mixed media painting and there's one that's more of a fiber art sculpture. So I encourage people to check that out. And then downtown, we've got a few things happening in Central School. They've got quite a few activities. True North Salon and Spa is going to be offering complimentary green hair tinsel to get ready for St. Patrick's Day.
John.
Whoa.
Get some tinsel. Rethrift is going to be hosting Nevada Smith of Preston Green. She does pressed flower and mixed media creations, and those will be on display and available for purchase. Fire in the Village up in room 203. They'll have people can stop and take a printed patch or a poster or just hang out and enjoy time with the creative community. And then across the hall there, Free Range Food Co-op is hosting Leah Fox of Soda Art Company. Her bright, whimsical art uses an array of mixed media supplies from traditional watercolors to pre-loved maps and repurposed canvases. So her work will be on display at the co-op. And then up in the attic, the artist in residence, Nelia Harper, Doug Lean and Maria Leyland will be in attendance and welcoming folks to visit their studio space. And I believe Keith Thompson is still their guest artist this month, so you can check out some of his watercolors. Let's see, what else is happening? Rapids Brewing has live music from 6 to 9, and Sam Miltich and Matthew Miltich will be joined by their guests this month, Liz Ashworth and Mark Kreitzer. They both play mandolin, Mark also and guitar, so it'll be a combination, but a very strings-heavy event tonight. Should be fun. And they also have a Fish Friday dinner special going on at RBC. And then next door at the Tide, they're doing a Roaring Twenties theme night. So lots happening there. And then at McCrosty, we have the opening for our new exhibit in the Minnesota Gallery, which is called Mutual Aid and Chosen Family. And that's by artist Carolyn Olson of Duluth. So you can stop by and check out that exhibit and hopefully meet the artist. We're keeping an eye on the weather because the sort of mixed precipitation forecast. She'll be driving from Duluth. So we're hoping that she's able to make it here and back before things start to turn too dicey. So fingers crossed on that. And then we still have our exhibit, Our What Ifs Became Real Life, on display in the McCrosty Gallery by Amber Buckinaga and James Harvin. And we have a youth art exhibit coming, but it will not be on display tonight. So it's coming soon. Probably next week it'll be up. So you'll have one more chance to see Eliza Clare's exhibit in the Guinewin Gallery.
And that's where the kids' one will go?
Yep, that's where the youth art exhibit will be installed. We're still working on collecting a few of the pieces. So.
And is this through numerous schools? Or
this one is just going to be through a couple of different classes at the middle school.
Okay.
Yep. So, yeah, that's all I got for you. I think we've
that's
got...
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's
well,
a lot.
I mean, it's plenty. Yeah. People keep people busy.
Let's talk about that. I got a chance to just walk through briefly Carolyn Olson's exhibit when I was there this week. It's pastel drawings. To me, the colors are... I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah. They're very bold, and I think actually Tom Cobb, in fact, compared them to WPA posters, and now that's stuck in my head, and it really does kind of evoke some of those same, I don't know, themes, but also just there's a lot of, the title is Mutual Aid and Chosen Family, and all the pieces kind of depict ways that people work together in community to sort of help each other out or to build community, and so there's just lots of great scenes of people helping each other out and being good neighbors for each other. So it's really beautiful. And the pieces are large scale. Like some of them are 25 by 50 inches and they really fill the space in a fun way. And I'm excited for people to get to check them out.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
It's going on tonight in downtown Grand Rapids. It is First Friday. Also, Bemidji's got arts events going on, including open mic at Headwaters Music and Arts. And we'll be telling you about a few more things happening throughout the region. Keep us posted about what's happening in your community. Text 218-326-1234. Katie, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up next, I know you love Formula One.
I'm glued. F1. Glued to the
big deal.
Whatever it even is.
Starts this weekend.
It's
Formula
F1.
One. F1.
Yeah,
I know.
F1.
F1.
Katie knows that.
Big deal. It's a big deal in our house. This weekend is Cadillac has a car. Have you heard this?
No.
Okay.
Cadillac has a Formula One car?
Yes.
Oh boy.
American, yeah. It's a big deal. So.
Is that what we're going to hear about right now?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not just bringing it out.
Well, I thought you had so much knowledge.
Okay. No, it's going on in our house. Now, I wouldn't say I have the knowledge, but the F1 movie is up for the best picture with Brad Pitt.
No.
It is,
but it's not going to win.
No, I didn't think it was going to win.
It's just an eye candy show. You kidding me?
Was a lot of eye candy. It's pretty good. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Headwaters with Malachi Coons.
Pretty good.
Brad Pitt.
On a Friday, it's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. The Formula One season begins this weekend. People will be glued to their screens. For the first time in a decade, a new name is joining the global motorsport series, Cadillac, which is framing itself as America's team. Here's NPR's Adam Byrne.
Now, this isn't America's first ever F1 team, but you wouldn't know that from the way Cadillac unveiled their black and white car in a Super Bowl commercial.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
If anything, channeling John F. Kennedy's speech about going to the moon might be an understatement of the challenge they face. The deal to bring Cadillac to F1 was finalized last March. The teams only had a year to build a car that tops 200 miles an hour and cost tens of millions of dollars to develop. It made its first appearance on track at a filming day in the UK in January.
This project is so complex. It's a big, big task.
That's Dan Touris, the team's CEO. He's feeling good about the car ahead of the season opener in Australia.
We had really good tests in Bahrain. I think the paddock was basically respect for what Cadillac had done, that we didn't look like a new team.
Still, that test showed they're expected to be one of the slowest teams this year. Touris knows that winning might take a while.
We certainly hope before the end of the decade.
I think that's definitely achievable.
Megan Schuster is the host of the podcast The Ringer F1 Show. She says having Cadillac on the track is a huge step forward for F1's popularity in America.
There has already been one quote-unquote America's team, and that's Haas F1.
The team owned by American businessman Gene Haas.
But a lot of their actual production takes place in the UK and in Italy. Cadillac seems committed to actually being America's team. They're building a really large factory area just outside of Indianapolis.
That's where the team will eventually build their cars. For now, the Cadillacs are being made in Britain. The engines are being supplied by Italian giant Ferrari. But Schuster doesn't think that dilutes the team's American identity.
When you're trying to construct a team like this, you have to look at what's going to be best for you right now. And trying to recruit engineers to this outfit is probably hard enough without also maybe asking them to move from Europe to the US.
The team's biggest challenge for attracting fans to back them in this multi-billion dollar sport? Winning.
Americans love a winner. If Cadillac can get a win at some point in the next couple of years, if they bring over an American driver, I think there's a little bit of a grace period in there.
This season, the cars will be driven by Sergio Perez, a Mexican, better known as Checo, and Valtteri Bottas of Finland. Both are hugely experienced in F1. Dan Touris says that had to come before national identity.
Having an experienced driver who knows what to expect, who can give that feedback on the car, who has the patience to deal with first-time issues that teams have, is really critical to the process.
The lack of an American driver isn't putting F1 fan Eric Rodriguez off Cadillac. He recently got into the sport after it began racing in his hometown, Las Vegas.
It's an American team, gotta wave the flag. All the right moves they're making, such as bringing in Checo and Bottas, like the people that you could get behind, that's the team I'm going to put my flag on.
Rodriguez will be tuning in to see if Cadillac's F1 journey turns out to be as glorious as humanity's first steps on the moon. Adam Byrne, NPR News.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Michelle Martin.
That is Father John Misty, The Old Law is the name of the song. And coming up, we've got Malachi Coons for Headwaters. He'll stick around for Minnesota Mixtape. And then our volunteer-hosted program, On the River, that is coming up at 1 and as well as 7 o'clock tonight. And tonight, our hosts are... It's on our list, John.
It's on our list.
Waiting for the internets to...
The series of tubes, too.
Yes. Gina the Knife is back. She's on at 1 today. And Sweet Melissa tonight at 7 o'clock.
If you're looking for something else to do tonight, Dropkick Murphys, Kiss the Tiger, Obie Original, and more benefit show at the Black Forest Inn in Minneapolis at 1. Better hurry up. Charlie Wagner at Starseed in Walker at 6. And again, Sam Miltich and friends at Rapids Brewing at 6 o'clock tonight. Want to thank I'm Hotel in Grand Rapids, providing amenities like their large parking lot suitable for trailers and boats and offering fresh baked breakfast items each day. imhoteltimberlake.com. And Paul Bunyan Communications, powered by the GigaZone, a broadband cooperative featuring all fiber optic GigaZone internet speeds up to 10 gig and local customer service, paulbunyan.net.
Support for programming also comes from the Grand Rapids Players. They're presenting Fiddler on the Roof. That is going on tonight, March 6th through the 8th, 13th through the 15th at the Rife in Grand Rapids. Friday, Saturday shows at 7, Sunday matinee at 2. Tickets available at grplayers.com. And our thanks goes out to Veteran Mental Health Crisis Response Team of Itasca County. The Crisis Intervention Service is a program of first call for help, 211. Free crisis assessments, stabilization services, referrals, and more. Trained providers available to serve fellow veterans 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by dialing 211.
The Northland Fat Bike Rally is Saturday at Lake Bemidji State Park. Registration begins at 8. Race is at 10. It's a fundraiser for the Trek North Mountain Bike Club and the Bemidji Composite Mountain Bike Team. Look for Bemidji Area Mountain Bikers on Facebook for more information. And Heidi, the Buck Lake Improvement Club invites everyone to their monthly breakfast buffet Sunday from 9 to noon at the Buck Lake Community Center, 12 miles north of Nashwauk. Wear your purple and green for an early celebration of St. Euro's and St. Patrick's Day.
St. what?
St. Euro's.
Erho.
Erho.
Come on. He's the patron saint of
Okay.
Grapes.
They
got
the
grasshoppers out so they can make the wine in Finland.
St. Erho.
There you go.
Okay. They will accept donations from the Nashwauk for the Nashwauk food shelf.
There we go.
So there's lots of stuff going on.
We'd like to thank the Grand Rapids State Bank for their support. They serve Grand Rapids area for over 110 years. GRSB.bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. John, what you got going on this weekend?
Going to First Friday, and going to do a little bit of house painting, interior house painting. Probably watch a little state hockey tournament with the fellas. We're going to have some pork sandwiches, roast.
That's a tradition?
Yeah, it kind of is. You know, okay. I'm not a hockey player, but it's fun hanging around them, telling old war stories and stuff.
And what'd you say you'll have with it?
Pork. Making a pork roast. Going to cut it up, make some pork sandwiches.
You are?
No, no.
Oh,
the gentleman.
All right.
Whose name remains anonymous.
Okay.
This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids. I didn't ask, what are you doing? That was rude of me.
I'm hanging out with high school friends.
Heading to the cities.
Yeah.